What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to the BTOSports.com podcast show. BTOSports.com has teamed up with us to offer you a great deal on your next moto-related purchase. It's easy. Fill up your shopping cart with at least $100 of merchandise and type M-A-T-T-H-E-S in the coupon section during checkout and you are hooked up. One more thing, folks. If you're looking for more Mathis, you're in luck. He's easy to find. Just bookmark PulpMX.com and follow Mathis on Twitter at Twitter.com/PulpMX.
Responsible if it does. What are you gonna do about it anyway? You won't have a head. You have been warned.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com podcast show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross, hosted by Steve Mathis.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com Trans World Motocross podcast show. As usual, I'm your host, Steve Mathis. With me on the line is one of 2010's, what I feel, most underrated riders, and that would be Kentucky's own Ryan Sipes. Sipes, what's happening?
Hanging out. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. And, I mean, not that you want to toot your own horn or anything, but do you feel like a little, you're flying a little under the radar this year?
I don't know. I'm not one to, like, say, hey, look at me, you know. But, I mean, I feel like I've done okay. I'm not where I want to be yet, so I guess I haven't expected people to be gushing about it. But, I mean, it's been okay.
Right.
It's been a decent year.
Right. And man, your Supercross season, well, you almost won. But we almost won two races, really, right? And you got taken out. You got hurt by the lapper at... Yeah, what race was that?
Well, Indy was just the I gave up a third place,
yeah.
Or possibly a second, but for sure a third. And then at Dallas, gave up a W.
Yeah,
but.
That's it, Dallas. Yeah. Well, anyways, you gave away two spots on the box, guaranteed, due to some bad luck. And another one, Jacksonville. You didn't make the main. You crashed out in. But I feel like if you had made the main and finished your usual spots in Jacksonville and made those box the two times, people will be a lot more excited for your Supercross series. And really, I mean, you had really good speed. What do you think of your Supercross series?
I mean, I accomplished one goal of Supercross was to be one of the fastest guys that ever raced, and I was. I was never out of the top three in practice times.
Mm-hmm.
I was fastest at Jacksonville. Second at Jacksonville, fastest at St. Louis. I mean, so my speed was good. I was just a little inconsistent. I think I rode a little over, not over my head, but I was just trying so hard, you know, because I just wanted to be up there, you know. And I felt like I had some of my, I've got my youth back in Supercross. I was not scared to just pin it. And, so that was good, you know, but I could have been more consistent and could have just taken advantage. Or I guess sometimes, you know, you have a bad race, but you got to salvage. And I think I would let my emotions get to me just a little bit in those situations. And like, dude, I'm in sixth. I should be in second right now, you know, and I'd kind of freak out where I'm getting a lot better at that now. But I could have done better there. So it was okay.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, St. Louis, you had a nasty crash in the whoops at the end there, right?
Yeah, that, going for second.
Yeah, exactly. So there's another race. And also, too, no disrespect to your team or anything. It's a good team, but, you know, you were racing the Factory Connections and the Pro Circuits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, those, I mean, I'll flat out say those bikes are better than yours, for whatever reason. More money, more budget, more testing, whatever you want to say. So, yeah. You know, I think it was good for you to hang with those guys and show them what you got. The outdoors for you has been well. Top 10 450 guy every week, basically. Well, you know, Dilla kind of sucked, but.
Yeah, it was terrible.
besides that, top 10 almost every week. How do you feel about the 450 class outdoors?
I mean, I like it. I've been having fun. It is different, and it's a learning curve for me, learning when I can push the 450 and when I have to back off a little bit, and, you know, just trying to be a solid guy. You know, like I said, I'm not where I want to be, which I guess you never are unless you're winning by 30 seconds. But,
right.
But you know, I want to be in the top five, and I know I can. It's like every weekend I have the speed. It's just, you know, little things here and there, and this past weekend was kind of a bummer for me because I went down five times in the first moto. I'd like a total rookie. It felt like one of the kids coming out of the I didn't know what was going on, but it was just slick, and I guess I thought it was, you know, it looked better, and I was just still going for it like it wasn't slick, but, you know, my speed was there again, and second moto was decent. You know, I just didn't have the best start, rode pretty good, but, you know, it's been kind of like that, just like one thing missing here and there, you know, every weekend. So,
we'll talk about it. I just did one of these with Andrew Short the other day. Talk about a track that changed dramatically from practice to second motos was Unadilla. I mean, you couldn't get any more different, you know. So, always made you guys have to adapt. What are you missing in your opinion? What is it? I mean, speed, like we said, in Supercross, and even the Nationals, you know, you can go as fast as those guys. What is it? Do you think? I think you're in shape. So, what are we talking about, Sipes? What do we got to do?
You know, I'm still looking for it. I think I just got to be like, I need to go talk to Phil Jackson or something and get on some Zen, like, super focused stuff. I don't know, but
right.
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm going to keep working on that. Me and my trainer, Steve Hatch, we work on it all the time. So, I mean, I got a good feeling about the last three Nationals. I've been doing some, me and Steve been talking a lot, and I'm ready for them. So.
All right. Steve Hatch, the accomplished GNCC racer. I think, did he ever win a title? I think he probably won one or two.
I don't think he won GNCC.
Nope.
He said he always got hurt. He won Enduro titles.
Okay, all right, yeah. So
and 6 days in titles.
And always in one of the best shapes that anybody in the class.
Yeah, he's gnarly.
At least that's what Wygant tells me. I don't really follow the GNCCs that much. But do you feel like you've arrived as a racer, you know? I mean, as a kid who did 125 Nationals, I mean, from an outside looking at you, you got hurt a lot. You were certainly fast at times, podiums in Supercross before. Do you feel like this year you've arrived a little bit, or do you still feel the same way?
Yeah, a little bit, because I've grown up quite a bit, and I'm not, you know, when I first came in, I was either... I was always fast, but I didn't know what let off meant. I would just say, "Oh, I'm not in first. Let me just give it more gas," you know. And so, you know, I've grown up a lot since then. But I don't think you've ever arrived. If you ever thought you arrived, then that would mean that I'm happy riding around in eighth or tenth place, and I'm not. So, you know, keep working on it, and probably going to be back on the 250F again next year. But I'm kind of looking forward to that too. It's, you know, 450 was fun, and, but the 250 indoors is pretty good times, because you can throw that thing around. So.
Sipes, you can't drop that and then not have me ask what's going on, what silly season, who you signed with that you already know you're riding 250Fs indoor.
That's all I know.
Oh.
Because I'm going to ride 250F indoor.
Oh. Well, what if
the, I mean, I'm, what if you know Mathis, I would tell you. Come on.
No, you wouldn't. Well,
no, it'll be. You'll know pretty soon. Okay. Probably.
All right. Well, good for you. And how old are you, by the way? I don't even know.
I am 25.
25. Okay. So.
Old man.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get too far into it, obviously Stewart made his comeback to Unadilla. What's your thoughts on him coming back? Did you have any? Did you see him at all? Did you race with him at all? What do you think of that that return that had pretty much everybody in the sport talking?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured it would be tough for him to come back right in the middle of it. I mean, I know he's, you know, James Bubba Stewart, but, you know, it's like, not saying I'm going to beat him, but, you know, like, I mean, there's, right, those guys are pinning it, Dungy and those guys, and I did see him one time in the second moto. He was right in front of me off the start, and we came around those little switchback deals, and it was almost like he just stopped. And I like went around him, and I never seen him again. Then he said he pulled off. So I don't. Heard he had bike problems. I don't know, but
right.
It's.
I think Short said the same thing. You know, not to discredit Stewart. We all know he's probably the fastest guy in the world. But you guys have been going at it for 9 races. And, I mean, even Shorty said the same thing. It's really hard to just jump in, no matter who you are, you know? He'd only had about a month on the bike, and, you know, and even that wasn't at serious top speed. So I guess it just goes to show you how fast all of you guys are going.
Yeah, and it's not even for me. Like, I know it would be impossible for me to just jump in because I've been racing. Like you said, we've been racing for, like, 8 or 9 weeks, but riding your home track is so much different from the Nationals. They've been everywhere from super slippery to nasty rough to, like, you know, just all over the place. And then you got guys running it in on you everywhere, you know, trying to pass you. So they're like, I mean, without being in it a lot, I think it would be really tough to come back.
Right. And, like, have you raised your game since Hangtown?
I think so.
Yeah.
For some reason, I probably rode better at Hangtown, but just because I wasn't coming in going, I need to be in fifth place. You know, I was just coming in. I had no clue. I just rode and rode smooth and
got seven, went like right? seven?
Seven, eight for seventh. Yeah. So, I mean, I rode probably more consistent there, I guess you would say, but definitely my speed's a lot better. I've been done a lot of work between then and now on the 450 and just my speed and everything, so definitely better rider.
Maybe you're right, Sipes, because maybe you do need some mental help, because like you said, you came into Hangtown just like no pressure, no expectations, no idea how you were going to do, and you got seventh. So maybe you do need some mental help.
Well, it just, I mean, I think everybody does it, but you put the pressure on yourself going, well, I got seventh last time. Right. I should get fifth this time, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all good. I'm over all that. Like, Washougal was really good for me, and Millville was actually pretty good for me. So, you know, it's not like I'm total head case.
Right. Yeah. Well, how much do you look at the points with you, Regal, and Chisholm all going at it for really top privateer? Is that I don't know if there's a prize for it, but is that important to you? Is that something that you want to get?
Not because of the prize. I just want to beat those two guys because I know I'm capable of it. So, right. And it's been a battle. It's like one time like I'm way better, and then they're way better, and then. You know, we're just battling, so.
Yeah, I was talking over with Regal's Jim Lewis from Merge Racing, and we were saying the same thing. Like, every weekend, a different one of you three guys really steps up, you know? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, what do you think about that bike? How's the YZ450? In my experience, talking to guys, it's a bike you love or hate. What were your feelings upon first getting on it and riding it and dealing with it?
I mean, it's a good bike. It's I've never rode a 450, you know, in races. So, you know, it was new for me, but I think we're doing just fine on it. So, I mean, it's fun to ride. So, I like the fuel injection. That's sweet, dude. You never have to jet it ever again. Never bog.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so. And whatever 250F you ride next year, that'll be EFI too, and you'll probably love that.
Yeah.
And then you and Chisholm seem to find each other almost every race at some point.
I know. It's weird how it is, yeah. But that almost makes it fun because we're out of the same truck and we're good friends. We never, get, mad at each other or whatever. So it's pretty fun, but we still race each other pretty hard. I'll run in on him if I have to, and he does the same thing, and then we're cool as soon as we get back. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask that if anything ever got heated, but both of you guys are pretty nice. So
yeah.
And I should actually clarify that I am the goggle guy for X brand, and you guys were X brand. So, in case anybody's wondering, how has the vision been, Sipes? Has it been fantastic?
It's been great. I see lines nobody else can see.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Has any lenses fallen out on you? Have I fucked that up at all? No.
Zero.
Okay. Good.
Zero.
Well, let's knock on wood. And get it through these last three. No, that's cool. It's good to see. It's good to see good guys do well. And you and Chisholm are both good guys, friendly people, and kind of like what I think, the untold story of the 250 Nationals, kind of, I mean, not a whole lot of people are talking about you, but I guess, like you said, it doesn't bother you that much. So,
yeah. Not worried about it.
Right. And talk about your Moto Concepts team itself. They've come a long way from when they started. You like riding there? How's it going there? And, it's a struggle for these smaller teams to get sponsorship money and get good equipment, but looks like it's kind of working out for you.
Yeah, it's good. It's, like you said, for a second-year team, they're doing pretty dang good, I think. And everything's taken care of. We don't have to worry about... we're there to race, and that's all we got to worry about. So that's all you can, you can get that out of a team, and you got, a bike that'll stay together. I got a great mechanic, so I know that's good. They brought him in, and appreciate that. And I think it's a good team.
Was Scotty your mechanic? Your guy at MDK too?
Yeah, he was there for 2 years with me, and then came over with me.
I didn't know that. Well, that's cool. Yeah, good. You guys are getting along good. Does Frenchie do your motors?
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought your 250F looked really good compared to other, compared to the guys you're racing with. Maybe it was just your right wrist, but looked like Frenchie knew what he was doing.
Right wrist, no, he does a real good job.
Hey, let's go back in the time machine a little bit. Coming into pros, what sort of your expectations? I don't know too much about you as far as that goes. I know you were a highly touted amateur, and one of the kids from Kentucky that. Made you go, huh, Kentucky, who knew? But talk about jumping into pro class. Who did you ride for your first year?
I did 4 nationals my first year just out of the truck, just me and my dad and mom and everybody. But my first full year was with WBR Suzuki.
Oh, well. Okay.
They didn't have that team no more. But
yeah. I remember you in WBR for sure, but I couldn't remember who you rode for the year before, but I guess you didn't ride a whole season. So.
Yeah, that was just a couple races.
Right, so WBR Suzuki, and probably looking back, one of the worst bikes in the last decade, would you say?
Well, I think that bike itself didn't give you much to work with.
Uh-huh.
Because it was so far kind of behind, but, I don't even know, what the numbers were or anything. I know it wasn't the best motor out there, but I still pulled hole shots on it somehow at Supercross.
Yeah, yeah.
But, those short Supercross, those short starts where your motor don't really matter. It's like if you get your handlebar in front of the next guy, you're in.
Yeah.
And they weren't terrible. I had 2 good years on it, so, I can't really blame it too much.
Yeah, that was the Suzuki Kawasaki thing for people who are wondering what I'm talking about, where they had the same machine. Man, they seem to blow up a lot, but maybe that was everybody else, but the Oshimura WBR bike.
Yeah.
Brad Williams is a good guy, the team owner. You get along with him good? You like that team for what it was?
Yeah, for sure. It was killer for pretty much, I think that was their second and third years that I was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was killer to me,
Mm-hmm. I was a mechanic on the first WBR team. Well, not really. WBR joined up with Moto Triple X when I was there. So we were Triple X WBR. So just a little tidbit for you, Sipes. But, Brad was a good guy. And you rode with Troy Adams, I think, and Richie Owens? No.
Nope. Troy was on it the year before, and he ended up going to...
Pro Circuit?
No, he went to Samsung first.
Okay. All right.
That Samsung Honda team.
Yeah.
And so my the first year it was Richie Owens and Ryan Morris, and the second year it was LaPaglia and Ryan Morris.
Ah, okay. All right. So. Sweet. And then, of course, you signed for big dollars back then, right? I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah, dude. I thought I was rich for 30 grand.
Was it 30? I'm surprised it 30. Wasn't that much.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, for winning the title, though, Loretta's the year before, like, I probably didn't get paid that much. I mean, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just me. I mean, I know the other guys that came in got paid more than won titles.
That's what I was saying, Sipes. You're like, you're kind of... You've flown under the radar for a long time, you know?
A little bit.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Now it's time to pay some bills.
Thanks for listening to the BTOsports.com podcast show. Please don't forget that BTO is the world leader in aftermarket motocross parts for the bike or body. You'll find deals like a Shoei VFXW helmet for $309.99, 45% off, or Smith Piston goggles for $32.99, 65% off. Your order can be shipped anywhere in the USA for free, or if you're not in the USA, we ship worldwide. Check it out at btosports.com.
Are you the fastest guy from Kentucky ever?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't know.
You're not going to be the judge of that, huh?
Nope.
Speaking of Kentucky, whatever happened to Ben Riddle?
I haven't heard anything from him in years. I have no clue.
But did you battle with him, or was he before your time?
Yeah, he was before me. Okay. I mean, I was on, like, once when he, the year before he went pro, I was still on 80s.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I had a guy tell me that Ben Riddle was going to be the next great Ricky Carmichael. And he was serious. Dude,
that guy used to blow my mind, blow everybody's mind with
really,
how fast he could make a 125 go.
Yeah.
Like, I think once he got in pros, he didn't ride near as good as he did before because he was, like, unbelievable in the amateur stuff.
Really, huh?
Yeah. He would manual, like, 3-foot jumps.
Right.
I mean, like, it never come off the ground. Like, he was, just because he was real big, you know, he could just do some pretty crazy stuff. But right, I think the pro thing got to him or something.
So the next year, after 2 years at WBR, you get hired by Factory Connection Honda. And you probably raced 6 times in 2 years or something?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
I don't mean to laugh, Sipes, so don't get mad.
I'm laughing. That's cool.
What went on there? What happened there? Just a lot of injuries? I mean, I remember you were working with Bailey, and he told me, I think I was at Yamaha, or maybe he was working with Villeman, and he was also working with you or something, but Bailey was really high on you. I mean, he said that if this kid can just... If the switch can just go on with this kid, he could win, you know? Did you feel that did the pressure kind of get to you and you crash? What happened at Factory Connection Honda?
No, the only race I raced for them healthy, I won the Vancouver Supercross.
I was ready.
It was Dungey, DiVallo, Osborne, everybody was there. I mean, not everybody, you know, but Weimer, a lot of guys were there, and I won my heat race, won the main. Like, not trying to toot my own horn, but I was ready.
On the moon dirt. In the moon dirt.
Yeah, I could have, you know, I think I was just ready for that. And if I'd have been that way coming into the season, I think I'd have won then too. But 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before, I collapsed both lungs, bruised my kidneys, broke my sternum, broke my collarbone.
At Daniel Boone, right? Or no?
No, in Georgia at GPF.
Okay. All right.
And then raced Atlanta 2.5 weeks later. Like, just take 10 ibuprofen and go ride.
Yeah.
And still almost got a podium one time, but I was just hurting, you know. Like, I'd go out there almost numb from all the ibuprofen, and so I couldn't ride all that great anyways, and then if something little happened, it would hurt, and then ended up getting landed on at Orlando and broke my leg, so I was out until, like, the last 3 or 4 nationals, and came back too early just because I wanted to race, and, you know, they were kind of like, get back and ride, and I was like, all right, and I just wasn't ready, and I rode around in 12th all, you know, for the rest of them.
And then the next year, what happened?
The next year I went to KTM, MDK KTM.
Oh, you only 1 year at?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My bad. I got to really do
some
research.
Yeah, they didn't give me a second chance.
I got to do some research here because I just did this off the top of my head, but I thought I had it down. So what was it like riding for Factory Connection though? Certainly good bikes, right?
Yeah. Great bikes and good people.
Yeah.
It was good. It was like bad timing for me to kill myself.
Were you bummed they didn't give you another shot? Like, were you in the running and it just didn't happen?
Kind of was.
Yeah.
Kind of was, just because of the way they gave everybody else two or three or four shots.
Well, Goose got
and
about
I didn't get one, you little, know, but.
Little man. Goose got about a dozen shots.
What's that?
Little Goose got about a dozen shots.
Yeah, and what's his face? Rodriguez got two.
Yeah, Rodriguez.
Reardon got three or four.
Yeah.
But I didn't get one.
Good point.
It's all good.
Right.
It's all good.
Yeah, good point. Hey, what happened with Reardon and Moto Concepts? Do you even want to, can you even talk about it? Do you even know? What happened?
I don't even know.
That didn't work out. That didn't work out either.
No.
Yeah, so you were thinking maybe you were coming back, but then in the end they didn't keep you. But, I mean, so really you won a race, you almost made a podium, then you broke your leg, and that was it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's professional motocross for you, if people are listening, right? I mean, that's kind of how it happens.
Yeah.
And then so you go to KTM. How do you like that? What bike's
good. Yeah. They gave me another chance. I mean, and I guess I was feeling kind of bad because I was like, man, I just got booted from Factory Connection. I'll never get another ride, you know. And they hooked it up and I went out and did pretty decent for them. Got a couple podiums, you know, so that was good. I was pumped over there, you know. And Scotty was, I had a good mechanic and it was good. It was a lot of fun.
It seemed from the outside, and I don't think those guys really like me, but it seemed from the outside that it was a little turbulent. Was it? Like with everything going on with MDK and KTM, kind of, they're both running the team, yet they're both not, and there was some money issues and stuff. Was it turbulent?
I never, like, got in the middle of it. I would just, you know, the only time I ever get into anything is if I didn't, you know, if my suspension didn't show up and I couldn't ride for a couple of weeks. That wouldn't be cool, you know. Then I would say something, but other than that, I never got into it with anybody, or you know, never heard, you know, there's just this and that, this is happening and this guy said this, but I don't get into all that.
you show up and ride your bike, huh?
Yeah.
How were those bikes? They looked fast.
Yeah, they're stupid fast, like 450 fast,
right?
But I mean, really, it was a good bike. Like, Supercross, the first year, wasn't the best because I was just thinking that it was going to handle like a dirt bike. And not saying that the way a KTM handles is bad, it's just different.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make it handle like a dirt bike, so I was always testing, and then going to the race and not knowing what it was going to do.
Right.
But then outdoors, dude, we hit on this one setting, and it was good wherever you went, no matter what.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And, like, it was still the best suspension I've had outdoors on a motorcycle so far.
Come on, Sipes, really?
I swear, dude. Yeah, okay. I completely promise.
Right.
I mean, this year's stuff is good, but that stuff blew your mind.
I noticed some KTM guys, they go out on their offset for indoor racing, which is really not the way anybody else goes, but with the geometry that they have of the frame. Did you do that? Did you do things backwards from what you would normally think, and then the bike worked?
No, not so much.
Okay.
I mean, we tried everything, and that's another thing that maybe I should have went that way, but I was like, no, you go in, you know?
Yeah.
So, did that, and I mean, it's not like it was terrible, but it was like we went in I would go and ride something, three different things the day before the race, you know, and then it was like, go to the race, like, I don't even know what this thing's gonna do. What did we end up with in this? And, but then, you know, the second year, I actually did worse, but my suspension was good the second year in Supercross. I was fighting a couple little injuries and, yeah, it just wasn't all that cool. So.
What did you, and again, I should do research, what did you ride last year, east or west?
Last year I rode west.
Yeah, with Brayton.
Yeah.
Right. You were 57 last year.
I was 31 last year.
Like I said, 31, exactly. 57 the year before. Yeah, and he couldn't buy a start, Brayton, to save his life, but he did a few times, but... So looking back on KTM, good experience for you. No problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
And so coming into this year, what else, did you have some other offers, or was it concepts and nobody? I mean, how did that go down for negotiating for Sipes for 2010?
Well, at the time, Lammy was the manager, and I just talked to him a little bit, and I talked to a few other people, and then it was like, Lammy's like, here's the deal, you know? And I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, it was just, I'm good friends with him. He said, it's going to be a good team. I said, all right.
That's all you needed to know?
It didn't end up being, you know, he ended up not being the manager, but, you know, Michael Young's been good too, so.
Right. Were you always planning on 450 Outdoors? Was that always a plan?
I wanted to.
Oh, okay. All right.
From the beginning. But the reason being is, I mean, we're up against, not saying our bikes aren't good, but we're up against the, you know, pro circuit and factory connection stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's, they're, you know, they're running alcohol in them, I don't know, but they're fast.
Yeah.
And I'm a bigger dude anyways.
Yeah.
You know, those kids coming in, they're little. They're like 140 pounds. I'm 165. That's as lean as, about as little as I can get. I'm just kind of built bigger, but
right.
I didn't want to be just frustrated all year, and I didn't, and the team finally understood that, like, if I'm starting 20th every time, it's going to be real hard for me to win any races or be to a podium, you know. Best I'm going to be is 7th or 8th, and I didn't want to do that, so. And I think it was a good experience to go do 450s in the outdoors and prove that I can ride them. And you know, if there was a ride next year that was going to be 450 all year, I would do it for sure. It's just, you know, what we've got worked out now, and I'm pretty happy with it too.
Well, yeah, you'd still be waiting because guys like Shorty are waiting. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
a ghost town right now as far as that goes. No, it's interesting that the career route you're taking a little bit, and now you're going back down to the 250s for sure. Do you think that as far as when you worked with Bailey back in the day, how did that go for you? Did it help you out? What do you remember from that? Going back?
Yeah, he's the only reason I have speed like I have, because he showed me how to make, like, how to work on speed rather than I would just go ride. Like, my riding routine was just go ride for a couple hours. You know, I would do one moto or two motos every once in a while, but I would just go ride and play and have fun. And I was always pretty good, but never like fast. You know, even in amateurs, I was the guy that got a good start and was solid, and maybe somebody passed him and then went down, or I just passed him back because they were out of shape, or, you know what I mean? And, but he's the one that made me go fast, and that's what he always worked on, was we got to go fast. Like, we'll worry about being in shape later. We'll get in shape by going fast.
Right.
You know, and so that's what got me that. And then I kind of took it overboard, maybe. Like, I just wasn't scared to leave it wide open. And so, you know, I'm not going to blame me getting hurt on that, but, you know, going faster definitely, you know, helped me get hurt, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I used to be way smoother. I used to never, ever, ever make a mistake because I would never push.
Yeah.
And so David taught me to push, which is awesome because I went faster, but I also made mistakes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
I've never seen the Ryan Sipes that doesn't make mistakes.
I know, see?
No offense, man. You've always, I mean, always, like, when I think of Sipes, even before I knew you a little bit this year with the goggle stuff, I was like, the dude's fast. He just has to stay on two wheels. Like, like, you know who else is like that? It's Kyle Cunningham.
Yeah.
Dude's fast. He just can't stay on two wheels right now. You know, one day he'll figure it out. But, you know, but I guess you can't teach speed, and eventually you'll end up smoothing out. Maybe where you're at.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
Like, that's kind of what David's thing was let's go fast, and we'll worry about all the other stuff later.
Right.
Which, you know, is good because I do have the speed now, like, and I've built, you know, I've worked on it and got better to where I used to never, ever be one of the fastest guys. But that was one of my goals this year, was be one of the fastest guys that ever ran in Supercross. In outdoors, I really didn't didn't want to do it that way because I didn't want to get hurt being first year on the 450. And, you know, I kind of wanted to be more, a little bit smoother this year on that, which I've been decently smooth. Still haven't stayed off the ground, but I haven't had any big head floppers. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it's always good. You know,
knock on that wood again for me.
There you go. I was just thinking about that the Geico and Pro Circuit comment and something I wrote this week. I'm sure you don't read my stuff, but
not if I don't have to.
What's that?
No, nothing good.
No, what'd you say?
I said not if I don't have to.
Right, exactly. So okay, so last weekend, Unadilla, they swept the top 8 positions. No, top seven positions. At Millville, they were 8 out of 9. Barsha let them down. Or Washougal. At Millville, they were 8 out of 9. I think Weimer let them down. Or like, those two teams are just the juggernaut in the class right now.
You know? Yeah.
And yeah, it's tough for sure. What do you think about Travis Baker? I've been watching him a little bit. He's figuring it out, huh? Nice kid.
Yeah, he reminds me of me when I first came in. Like, not scared at all to just hold it wide open. And he's fast. When they did a little tryout with him, you know, before the season, and I was like, this kid got, you know, he's got some skill. Like,
right.
I can just see it. Like, he just wants to go fast, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I think he'll be good.
Yeah.
Once he figures out that he don't have to win every race, yeah. Or, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's super, super nice kid, too. Seems like it anyways.
Yeah.
He had a good ride at the GP, too, and that GP went awesome for you. That was a good.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
That was awesome. I love the way that you went 1-1 there. That was good. And that leads me to my next question. What would you tell, if there's any amateurs listening to the show or any kids that are making the jump to pro, what kind of advice would you give them now, you 5-year, 6-year jaded vet guy? What would you tell somebody?
I don't know. I mean, just from, I guess best advice I could say is, like, don't ever get satisfied with where you're at because, you know what I mean? When you get satisfied, somebody's going to pass you because they're not satisfied.
Right.
I mean, I guess you can't look at it that way because then you're always going to be beating your head against the wall. But just for me, I'm not going to be happy in 8th place, you know, so I'm always going to keep working.
Right.
So that's what I would say, and don't get sucked into the rock star lifestyle. There's too many people like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I can definitely say, Sipes, that you are not a rock star.
Yeah, I mean, I would think you could tell.
And you see that, though, don't you? You see that with kids. The money is it the money and just living in SoCal? Because it doesn't seem to matter where the kids are from. It's just...
Yeah, but it's just getting away from mommy and daddy.
Is that it? Yeah.
Probably. I mean, you've grown up every weekend, every day, being with them, riding and everything, and when you don't have them,
right,
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I feel like... Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, you just don't have to do what you're supposed to do anymore. So you can do whatever you want. And you still think, I'll still ride. I'll be good. But then, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I can't speak for them. I've never really gotten into all of that. But
have you lived in Cali by yourself, SoCal?
Yep.
Yeah.
3 out of the 6 years I did.
Okay. So, yeah. You were like Brayton. I heard Brayton just goes to the gym, rides, and goes home and sits in the dark and watches TV.
Dude, me and Brayton get along great because I lived with him for about 6 weeks, and it was sweet, dude. We'd get up in the morning early, you know, go ride, do our motos, come back, go on a road bike ride, then come back and watch playoff games and cook some supper and go to bed.
Yeah, no. I heard that from – actually well, funny, Sean Hamblin, who, that's maybe why Sean Hamblin should have stayed home more, but Hamblin told me that Brayton was the most boring guy in the world. But look where it's got him. Maybe Hamblin should have been the most boring guy in the world at times. But, no, I mean, Sean's a friend of mine, but he said Brayton just, lives at home and just rides, goes to the gym, repeat. Rides go to the gym, repeat. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not as quite as like Chuck Norris as he is,
right,
but
right.
I mean, I do have fun. I mean, we're good friends because I think I've actually helped him loosen up a little bit, and, uh-huh. and he helps me because it's like, you know, right. we got to train, dude. Oh yeah, let's get it done. You know, so
yeah, no, he's a good dude for sure. And getting back to the kids thing, I almost think a team like JGR has it right, where they don't just on Saturday night say see you next Saturday and not even think about what these kids are doing. They're like, okay, you know, Monday's training, Tuesday's gym, you know what I mean? Like, they're really structured, and maybe more teams should be like that. Do you have any thoughts about that? Like, it's kind of loosey-goosey the way we let these kids just chill.
Yeah, I mean, I think their program is sweet. Like, mm-hmm. I would be so into that
right.
if I had the chance, you know. But it's just, yeah, I mean, look at other sports.
Yeah.
You know, you're responsible to do what you got to do. And here it's like, well, you get yourself in shape and then come race.
Right.
You know, not we'll help you get in shape and then come race.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, the investment these teams are making in the riders, you'd think they'd be a little more concerned with what they're doing during the week. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I guess whatever. You can go talk about that till the cows come home, I guess.
Yeah.
And they probably already
have. For us to decide.
Yeah, exactly. We're just two guys talking.
Yeah.
So next year, 250F, okay, you're not going to tell me who you sign with, so I can't ask you again. Can I?
Nope.
Oh, I almost tricked you there, Sipes. When will we know when that's going to go down?
I don't know. Whenever they decide to let you know. But it won't be long. Okay. It won't be long.
All right. Did you already break the news of Motor Concepts, or are you breaking it to them now?
They kind of knew, I think.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of them things.
Yeah. Are you going to get paid more?
A little bit.
Okay.
All right. Not much.
Well, good job then. Who's your agent? You don't have an agent, do you?
Yeah, Bobby Moore.
Oh, you do? You're WMG?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, sneaky Sipes. Didn't know you had a big-time agency like that.
Well, I think he just does it to be a friend. It's not like I'm pulling in big money, you know?
Yeah. His commission isn't exactly there, huh?
It's not like I'm paying his house payment or anything.
Are you going to the GPs next year, Sipes? Is that it?
No, sir.
Because
I thought about it.
Well, yeah,
I thought about it.
They're looking for guys. I heard Wharton's got a good offer, and with Bobby connected over there, maybe something like that's going to happen.
Well, I thought about it, but I like USA too much. I'm going to stay here for a little while.
Yeah, plus you're a pretty good soupy rider too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, right on, man. Hey, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
I
feel
no
like
problem, anytime.
Maybe the world knows more about Ryan Sipes now.
Well, I hope so.
I hope so, but it really doesn't matter to me either. That's what you said. Right on, Sipes. Well, hey, we'll see you at Southwick, and thank you for doing the BTOsports.com Trans World Podcast, man.
All right, thanks a lot, Steve.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
This has been the BTOsports.com Podcast Show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross. Don't forget to check out some of our past shows, including motocross legends such as
The Beast from the East, Damon Bradshaw.
It got to the point where I didn't want to leave home, and once I got to the race, I wasn't into it. If I wasn't going to give 100%, I'm not going to take their money.
The working class hero, Doug Henry.
It was definitely an emotional moment for me, just thinking to myself, that's it, you know, and it's amazing the stuff that goes through your head in a short amount of time of the things that, you know, that I was going to miss.
The Dogger, Ron Machine.
Until you really open your ears and you want to listen to what they're saying, it's like beating a dead horse. I mean, you know, and I know from personal experience, did anybody ever sit me down? Of course, everybody did.
Pro Circuits, Mitch Payton.
There's two ways to make the money. One is you can sign for money, or two, you can earn the money. I'm a high believer in earning the money. I think they ride better when they earn the money.
Seven-time Jeremy McGrath.
I was so mad, like so disappointed and so frustrated that I pulled fifth and I left. Every point counts. I could kick myself to this day for not just riding around in tents. It's been no problem. My ego got in the way, you know?
The O Show, Johnny O'Mara.
stuff that you sit there if you didn't even want to ride it. You just wanted to just look at it all day. I mean, I got a chance to test all that. I like that era I was in. I really do.
Search Mathis on the iTunes Store to find these and many more great podcasts. I will let these die.